KVOE, live and local, presents City Commission Candidate Spotlights. Brought to you by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226.
Welcome to Candidate Spotlight here on KVUE and KVUE.com as we go one-on-one with our Emporia City Commission candidates here for the 2025 general election cycle, which is less than a month away. We're pleased to have with us here on our Candidate Spotlight this morning, Monica Duncan, one of several hopefuls here for Emporia City Commission, but really no stranger when it comes to Emporia's business community and also a number of different boards that do help with city government. Monica, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Chuck. I am doing well.
Good. Well, thanks for joining us here today. Thanks for putting your name out on the ballot for folks to consider here coming up here next month. What triggered you and what prompted you to run for the City Commission specifically here this time around?
Well, thank you for having me. I was born and raised here in Emporia. My husband and I returned home 14 years ago to raise our daughter here, and a lot has changed since then. Property taxes have spiked, major employers have left, and then trust and transparency seem at an all-time low. I am not a politician. I'm a mom and a small business owner, and I am focused on getting our community back on track so that you and I can afford to retire here, so that our children and grandchildren could raise their families here too. I encouraged some of my friends and neighbors to run for the city commission, but when they didn't jump at the idea of running, I decided, why not me?
Gotcha. Now, talk a little bit about your work experience. We mentioned here that you've been on some city boards or related boards. Talk about that experience and also talk about your family.
Okay. My husband and I have one daughter. She's a freshman in high school this year, loves to play volleyball, basketball, all the things that keep the parents busy.
Right.
I used to be a special education teacher. I, shortly after COVID, got out of that and got into the financial world and just enjoy doing that. I volunteer on a couple different boards here in the city, and I guess I like to be active. When we decided to move back to our hometown, my husband's America's boy, mm-hmm. When we moved back here, we decided we were going to get involved and be involved in our community because this is where we wanted to raise our family.
So, talk about the board specifically and really how your experience would make you a good city commissioner if you're elected.
I would have to ask. Kevin Hanlon was my first, and then Joe Foster, and then now Justin Givens when I was on the Emporia Planning Commission and the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Sure, okay.
So quite a few. I can't even tell you how many years that was. Mm-hmm. But multiple meetings, multiple good board members I worked with that I feel like we learned a lot and made some decisions, tried to streamline things. That was during that whole time period where, I don't remember the name of them now, the people from Portland, Oregon that came in and talked to us about a master plan when the county and the city were going to try to do that together.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I agree. I remember what you're talking about. Yeah,
sessions at the fairgrounds, and we went through that whole cycle of, getting new
exactly those new things. Zoning regulations and yep
thank you yes new zoning regulations and and then we kind of did some things to make them ours. We were getting so many of the people out by the Flying J and in that area that were wanting the higher signs along I-35, and we just said, why are we seeing all of these? Could we change the regulations? Because we're going to approve, after we've approved a couple, we're going to approve them all, but mm-hmm. So why not just make that fit our community in that area? So,
gotcha. Good deal. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the main issues. And, for those of you who are listening to your first spotlight, all of our candidates that we're interviewing here have been asked to give their thoughts really on we've called it three different topics. It's really four. Property taxes as part of city finances and spending, plus the RDA, housing, and then also the potential of a 0.5% sales tax for potential variety of possible uses there. So let's start on property taxes. I mean, okay. You mentioned this right off the top. A lot of people, especially in the budget cycle, always seem to say that property taxes here are too high. And there's studies that do indicate that Emporia is on the high end of cities its size in Kansas when it comes to property tax numbers being as high as they are. From your perspective, why are the property taxes so high?
I've learned enough to maybe be dangerous about revenue neutral rates. And it appears that every time the county does the evaluations of houses and stuff like that, those are going up. And then we have revenue neutral rate hearings so that we can raise and keep our levy so that we get the city, county, school district, everybody, rec center, everybody who takes money from that also sees that bump. So to me, that's probably, I think costs of a lot of things have been going up since COVID and, you know, all that kind of stuff, that I think that's probably why the property taxes keep going up.
Okay. I know that the city commission, at least earlier this year, had mentioned about the joint task force to possibly include input from Lyon County, Emporia School Board, Rec Commission, as to maybe start some conversations about ways to push that property tax, at least that burden down. Do you feel that was a good move by the city commission to do that step, or are we at a time now where maybe the city should have just struck out on its own and tried to take some steps to reduce the property taxes on its own accord without any of those conversations in play?
I think we need leaders at the city level who will work with the others, that will work with the county, the school district, and the rec center to do that together.
Okay. How do you see that working together? How would you see that maybe coming to fruition so that what would your plan be in working with those three entities or maybe others in ways that the public could see those conversations at least taking place and maybe working towards a solution?
I'm huge with collaboration. I think it's very important to work with others, and in education, that's what I did. You had to communicate. You had to work with your students. You had to work with the other teachers. You had to work with the administration. Same, I see that in business too. You have to work with your customers, your clients, your all of that kind of thing. So yes, I think, calling them and sitting down at the table and starting a clean slate, I think there are probably some hard feelings that I think we would have to just start over.
Understood. On that front, I know that the city is poised to go, or I'm not going to say poised to go forward, but they are poised to continue conversations. I know that this was brought up briefly between the county, school board, rec commission, independently of each other, and they've tabled things. Is that a concern for you, that they've tabled and the city commission is, if nothing else, at least ready to have these conversations in going forward here with some sort of conversation overall?
Some of us have attended a lot of the city commission meetings, all of them that we could or were able to, since we put our name in the ring so we could be learning stuff.
Sure.
I did hear that mentioned at one of the city commission meetings. I have not followed up with the other entities to see, but there have also been comments made that people are tabling things and to push it off until after an election and new city commissioners take office. And so I'm not sure if, I don't know that it was specifically spoken about that incident, but there are at least three other times I've heard the current city commission say that.
Okay. If the city has to go alone or go on its own here when it comes to property tax reductions, what potential options do you see the city maybe having in reducing property taxes for the residents here and reducing that burden?
Well, I overheard a conversation in study session about the buildings trades area. I feel like okay. It's buildings trades. That may not be what it's called.
Building Corey, trades board, I believe.
Maybe they do have a board, okay. But it's Corey Krause's department.
Building Trades Commission, okay.
And they do the inspections and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And we have not raised our price of permits or inspections or any of that stuff since 1982. I think that was, it was 1982 or 1983, I feel like he said.
Okay.
And, you know, they started a base of $15, and the study session was about possibly raising that base to $20. It seemed reasonable as an outsider, but I don't have all of the information or all of the executive session or all of the things that current city commissioners get. But it seemed like right there, he might be able to make part of his department break even and raise the $160,000 that's coming out of the general fund to fund the rest of those. And I mean, there's just one example of a place that I just heard recently that I think, I think they need to do a top-down look from the top down at all of the expenses and see if there's any duplication of services or anything that we could try to find cost savings in.
Okay. I'm going to flip the question over before we get into the RDA, and that would be where do you think maybe the city could possibly do some cuts? This is a little bit off of the property tax side of things, but where do you see the city might have to do some budgetary cuts and still maintain the level of service that residents here have come to expect?
Besides that one example, that's the only one that I've heard in a meeting or discussed.
Okay.
So I don't have a plan in place of what to cut because I don't know. I did take I took so many classes. The last one where we learned about fire, police.
The Sheriff
Department.
Civic Leadership Institute.
Civic Leadership. That one.
I don't think you've been.
I did that with Taylor Wash and then the Citizens Academy.
Okay.
Citizens Academy.
Sure.
At the Leadership Institute, we learned about the Citizens Academy, and there were a group of us that then wanted to learn and do that too.
Okay.
But at that, I learned a lot about all of the business side of the police, the Sheriff Department, and the Fire Department, and they're amazing and provide amazing services. So, I mean, I don't think any cuts there would be on the table because we do want to keep, like you said, the same level of services. So I'm not sure exactly where in the budget to find those cuts, but I would be willing to study it and look at it with whoever.
Okay. Monica Duncan joining us again with our candidate spotlight here today with the general election coming up November 4th. Let's wander into the RDA at this point in time. We're awaiting word here as we record this on the word for an RDA president, which obviously has been a long and winding road of its own over the last now, 18-plus months. Given the length of the search, but also given the reconfiguring of the board and the voting makeup here over the last several months, do you feel that the search is at an appropriate spot here for an RDA president, or do you think this should have been wrapped up here a little bit earlier this year?
Again, always getting a good place, the right person in the right seats on the bus is very important. I think our RDA is at a critical point. Well, our city is at a critical point where we need growth. I would like us to grow together. So having a good person in that position as RDA president, I would say, is very important. My understanding is they have a committee, they have done some interviews, they've possibly even made some offers. I'm not sure where to go from there. If we are trying to get the best person, I've talked to somebody in the committee that said some of the committee members are going outside and reaching out to people who maybe didn't apply for the job, that they're trying to get. They are really trying to get the best person for that job, and I think that is very important.
Here's a question that's come up, and I've asked it of a couple of other candidates, is do you think maybe the RDA board is maybe focused on finding the perfect person as opposed to maybe finding somebody who would be good in this new structure and then maybe adjusting the structure from there?
I honestly have not been to, I've been to one RDA meeting, and I'm not sure what they're thinking. I don't know that they're looking for a perfect person, but I think they're looking for a really good candidate, and I do think that's what Emporia needs, to move forward.
So. Okay. Do you feel that the restructuring, adding the tech college and ESU as voting members, expanding the voting membership of some of the other existing board members, do you think that was the right play here for the restructuring? Or what's your thoughts here on the restructuring side of the RDA over the last year plus?
I think that my understanding is the Tech College and Emporia State already had a seat at the table, and I think that is very important because they are a huge part of our community. We are lucky to have both a technical college and a four-year university in a town the size of Emporia. That's just my opinion. So I think that's very important. If they needed voting seats, that's great. I'm not sure about the other ones they added, if they were needed or not, but I know that, I don't know, I would have to talk to those entities to see if they felt like they needed a vote, if their voice wasn't heard without having a vote, but I know they were a part of the RDA prior to them getting votes, or that's my understanding.
Sure. Let me ask this question before we take our break here on the Candidate Spotlight with Monica Duncan. RDA has been really known locally and, across our signal coverage area, Lyon County and most surrounding counties, as being focused on mid-size, larger businesses. Given how things are moving in the economy right now, do you see the RDA continuing that focus on really those two business, just in general terms, business sectors, or do you see the RDA needing to branch out into other business sectors? And if it does need to branch out, which ones would you say the RDA needs to target?
I honestly am fine either way. If they want to stay at mid to large and focus on that, and then we have a couple other entities. I know Emporia Main Street is always working at recruiting businesses to come in downtown. That might be those smaller businesses that you're thinking of. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think those groups collaborating and working together is hugely important. And I think we're at a pivotal point, and I think they really can do it. I really have faith in the people in this community that everyone would like to see Emporia move forward together, and I have faith that we can do that.
Monica Duncan joining us here for our Candidate Spotlight. More with Monica after this on KVUE and KVUE.com.
The RV Doc is ready to winterize your RV or fifth wheel. Don't get caught with frozen water lines when the RV Doc is here to help. He'll drain and blow out the lines, as well as remove water filters and add antifreeze. Now is also a great time to take care of any other repairs that may need done. Call the RV Doc for an appointment today. 342-0702. 342-0702. And get winterized.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. We offer a full line of Yokohama tires. Yokohama Geolander AT4, Yokohama Geolander MTG003, and the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. So whether you're on or off-road, Yokohama tires will get you where you're going safely. And while you're here for tires, we can service your vehicle as well. Our experienced certified staff can handle repairs, including brakes, shocks, tune-ups, alignments, and more. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham, your Yokohama dealer. Where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
Make the educated choice when it comes to your vote. Emporia State Federal Credit Union is the sponsor of this year's Candidate Spotlight. These one-on-one interviews give you a chance to hear the thoughts of each candidate as they relate to the pressing issues affecting our community. Then be sure to head to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th to make your voice count. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, with two convenient locations in Emporia, is here for all your financial needs.
Candidate Spotlight continuing on KVUE and KVUE.com. Monica Duncan joining us as we continue profiling and getting you more information about our city commission candidates. In case you missed our first segment, we're talking about really property taxes, city operations, and also the RDA and the changes that have already started and some others that could be underway here very soon. Shifting over to housing, Emporia obviously has a number of larger scale housing projects underway. You look at Metropolis out by the Tressler Sports Complex. You look at Lockwood in Southwest Emporia. Cedarbrook Meadows that is teed up and at least ready to move into the next stages, with Kretzinger coming off the table here just a few weeks back. So I guess starting off this side of our conversation here, Monica, what do you see as the need for housing, whether it's, say, with new homes or apartments? Are we at a same level or a similar level that we were maybe this time last year as a point of reference?
I think with the Tyson closure, there are more empty apartments than we've had at the same time last year. The housing market, in my opinion, just driving around and living life in Emporia, I see quite a few houses on the market. I know they were going pretty quick, and I think at one point in the last year, we maybe only had 6 or 8 houses listed, and I think it's quite a bit more than that now.
Do you see, because there's always a kind of a question of balance on, mm-hmm. on homes specifically, whether you want to do greenfield like Cedarbrook Meadows is a classic case in point in that, or more infill. How do you see that balance? Should the city focus more on greenfield developments, maybe more on infill developments with existing territory with the possibilities of some of those additional construction costs in play?
I think we need a mixture of both. We have some empty lots and some houses that could easily be demolished or torn down and rebuilt for infill, and you know, that people may want to move into, and then new subdivisions also.
How does the city, from your perspective and your time on the planning commission, how does the city maybe bolster interest in infill development? And I know this could take a couple of different prongs here, one of which would be amongst residents themselves, but another would be amongst the developers here that have some different ideas, especially given the fact that these infill developments likely are going to be of a much smaller scale than what we're seeing in the greenfield developments.
Right. I think the city has offered some incentives in the past for infill development, that if it was a, well, they even have the housing board, that they have land something money that they can buy a property, help demolish it, and then try to sell it to a developer or something with incentives to build an infill. I think continuing that, I went to one of their board meetings, and I think they do a great job and have a lot of great ideas that I enjoyed listening to. But I mean, I think they're doing a mix of that. And then housing is a critical factor for the city's economic development. So we need to have housing. It's kind of three-pronged on that RDA thing. Companies are looking, employers look at the whole picture before they move a company here. And that includes the tax burden, the condition of the streets and the infrastructure, and then also how our community gets along, and are there houses, and are there all that kind of things for their employees. So,
I know that the City Commission and the Metropolitan Area Planning Commission, this is after your time, I think, on the planning board, there was a disagreement with Cedarbrook Meadows specifically on the lot sizes, with the city going towards a smaller lot sizes than what the Planning Commission wanted for that. Do you see really any issues between the two? I know that, you know, disagreements, you know, they happen. Do you see any issues maybe with future developments when it comes to potential lot sizes, especially when we're looking at the greenfield developments?
Well, I guess I was on the board when we helped write that code or whatever you want to call those rules. And we discussed, bantered, talked about a lot, the lot size. I think it is very important not to, unless we're talking about like a tiny home subdivision or something like that. One of them that we looked at, I guess I was trying to look at the whole picture, and then I was told that wasn't our job as the Planning and Zoning Commission, that I said there are no driveways or parking. There's no parking, and there's only street parking in a cul-de-sac when those narrow to a pie-shaped. And on average, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, you're thinking probably 2 vehicles, maybe 3, depending on age of children and that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
Where are you going to park those 2 cars? Because the main streets outside the subdivision were no parking, and there was not parking or garages or driveways on many of the houses in that subdivision that we were looking at. And I was told that that wasn't our issue to take up. And I said, I'm just trying to be realistic. I'm looking at everything here.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I feel like some of those that had the smaller frontage, if they didn't have enough frontage for a driveway or something to park your cars, it, to me, it was a real life problem. And I would think that somebody looking at a house might say, well, where are we going to put our cars?
Understood. So you do see some, at least some maybe additional, if it's not maybe lot size or frontage, there may be some additional conversations that are needed just in order to make sure that there's good reasonable policy.
Correct.
Okay. I want to shift gears over to the 0.5% sales tax. This has been, to my understanding, it's been discussed. There's no direction on this yet with city commissioners, but there's at least a possibility of a 0.5% sales tax, which could possibly go for property tax offset. There could be special projects. There could be infrastructure, which would be help to augment the city's services in that regard. First off, I guess the basic question is, would a new 0.5% sales tax be something that you would consider or support on its face?
I guess the only one I've heard of, attending all those meetings, the only one I've heard of is the rec center sales tax that they have been talking about.
And I think
adding.
This is different. My understanding is this, yeah.
Okay. And I do not think that has been discussed openly in a study session or a city commission meeting.
Okay.
That I've been aware of.
Okay. I'd been told that it had, so okay. I'll have to double check on that. But
and I may have missed that meeting. There were a couple.
Understood.
There were a couple meetings I did miss. But,
understood. Would this be something that you would be, whether it's say for the rec commission, whether it be for infrastructure, say a property tax, maybe not a dollar for dollar offset, but maybe a partial offset? Would any of those three be something that you would consider supporting?
On the rec center, I know that a lot of people did a lot of work on that, and I think we need something, but I think that day will come. I don't think it's right now why we're losing jobs and that kind of thing. Increasing sales tax on people, it would have to be a very, very good reason, and we would have to see it. Because I mean, it would, I guess, draw in some money from outside people that came to shop here, but the majority of us Emporians also shop here, and so it would be raising our own taxes also. And if I'm not for the high property taxes, I'm definitely not for a high sales tax either. So
okay. And that would be even if the sales tax would serve to offset some of the property taxes. It would be just basically no either way.
That's the way I'm leaning now, not being educated on it. Yes.
Okay. What do you see as at least some potential projects that could benefit from a sales tax increase? Or would you feel that probably should not be considered just in general terms?
I feel like that should not be considered in general terms.
Okay. Let me ask you as far as benefits that you would see from, and this probably goes right back into your current answer here, but if it's a situation where a new sales tax is proposed to offset potential costs of, say, general obligation bonds. And this would be, in some case for me, along infrastructure lines, specifically streets and water, storm sewer, and other utilities. Again, it may wind up going straight into your prior answer, but do you see that as at least a possible way to help the city as opposed to maybe bonding some of these projects out, specifically on infrastructure projects?
I think we've maximized our bond amount that the state allows with the new fire station, which I also feel was very needed based on a tour we took after a study session and the living conditions and all of that kind of stuff. You know, the trucks that we had to special order fire trucks to fit into William Allen White Auditorium, and now now the new fire station, they can fit in there. So my understanding is that tops out our general obligation bonds that to the level the state allows. So I think my understanding, what I learned from speaking with the fire chief and the assistant chief and those people that gave us the tour, was they had been working with Mark McInerney back in the day, and when the bridge got paid for, the one that went over Tyson towards the dump and all that stuff, that when that general obligation bond was paid off, that's when we had the money to move forward on this new fire department. And that's why those plans were already in place and planned, and they were ready to go with it as soon as that bond was paid off. So I think we need to pre-plan things like that. However, that doesn't mean that I don't think we need to do things about our infrastructure. But I think the water line, we got some grants and some state money to help pay for that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think our current city leadership looks into that and needs to continue looking into that kind of those kind of projects that are also somebody else helps us fund.
Okay. Well, Monica, as we wrap things up here today, in case people would like to learn more about your platform, some of the goals and objectives that you have with your campaign, if you're elected, how do they find that information?
I have a Monica Duncan for City Commission Facebook page. I have yard signs out. If you see me in public, ask for one of my purses full of palm cards and things like that. Mm-hmm. Chuck, I'll hand you one right now.
Thank you.
That kind of thing. I guess my cell phone number's out there. I have a personal email.
Okay.
Just the general ways, I guess, that you find somebody.
Understood. Well, Monica, thanks so much for your time here with us today. Best of luck here as we get near the late stages of the campaign, and we'll be talking with you soon.
Thank you, Chuck. Have a great day.
You too. Monica Duncan joining us on Candidate Spotlight. More on KVUE after this.
Emporia City Commission Candidate Spotlights on KVOE has been brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial, repairs for your RV for over 26 years. KVOE, live and local.